gonna be all right. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Okay, so here it is. You all know it. Remember this from Sunday school? Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Yeah. Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is he weary, King James. His understanding is unsearchable. Just one more time, push five people and tell them, I thought you knew. Go ahead, praise God. I thought you knew. You may take your seats in the Lord's house. All right, so about 7 days ago, last Sunday morning, I was awakened out of a peaceful sleep. And no, it was not that nefarious, nocturnal nemesis, Satan Lucifer, waking me up, but rather it was my sovereign Savior seducing me sermonically. He kept messing with me, saying that Isaiah 40 was my preaching assignment. I was concluding last weekend this whole piece on I Got Canceled. And so I vacillated for hours on a Sunday morning. You have to be a pastor to understand when you've worked on something like 16 hours and God gives you something else. And so I'm praying and saying, God, is this today's assignment? Am I to cancel I Got Canceled? Or are you giving me this as a precursor of what's to come? After wrestling with God like Jacob for hours at 4:30 on a Sunday morning, I finally settled sermonically on concluding the series last weekend. But oh, did I know that God was speaking to me clearly about lifting up the eagle-eyed prophet Isaiah's rendition of Isaiah 40. You know, most of us know Isaiah 40. I mean, we don't like know it exegetically, Hebraically, but most of us know it commonly. We've heard it in Sunday school. We've heard preachers that have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint is not, neither is where he gives power to strength. Those who have might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that what? Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint, run and not be weary. You know, all of you, seriously, like anybody that's been in church, there are certain scriptures you just kind of know by heart, not so much because you read them, you just heard them said so much. Isaiah 40 would be one. Then it dawned on me, believe it or not, in the entirety of my preach career, I have never preached it on a Sunday. I've never done a sermon on Isaiah 40. And the Lord woke me up and said, it is the assignment. It is a singular sermon designed to bring somebody back into a peaceful place. Designed to give somebody strength who don't have none left. Designed to push patience pedagogically on somebody who's unpeaceful. Look at your neighbor and say, he might be preaching to me today. I don't know. Look like he might be preaching to me. Okay, you know this. Come here. We do know that in order to have content, it just craves context. I won't bore you. I see a lot of people here for the first time, and I'm glad to see you. They told me that one of our virtual members blasted in and flew in just to be with us today, and so shout out to you. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad to have you here. Okay, but here it is. Israel, God's chosen, the apple of his eye, Yeah, the children of Israel, God's chosen people, as it were, finds themselves in another precarious position. They were always in and out of some sort of bondage, sometime just because they were chosen, and then sometime because they chose to do wrong. I mean, come on, those of you who are theological and read, you know there's what? Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivity, Egyptian captivity, and most recently, the one you know about historically, German captivity. Always in and out of something. Number one, because they were chosen by God, but in a very real sense, because oftentimes they walked away from the God who chose them. Some stuff I'm going through because he chose me. And some stuff I'm going through because I chose to walk away from who chose. Some stuff God sovereignly lets hit me. And some stuff I brought on me. And maturity knows the difference. Yeah, maturity and those who walk with God, some of us just stop and say, I know exactly what's going on. He whooping my behind. Praise God, eh? You ain't got to pray about it. This God, I know I'm wrong. I've been wrong. And God is bringing me back to him by any means necessary. And in this particular text, Isaiah 40, you'll love this. Here they are now in the midst of bondage, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation. Okay, that's the context. That's the context. You're going to love the content now. And so the eagle-eyed prophet, Zeke, Isaiah, opens with a question rhetorically. Great crowd. Rhetorically, he asks, have you not known? You just missed it. You slept on it that quickly. He says, based on all God has done for you, based on what you've been through, based on the bondage he brought you out of, based on who you used to be married to, based on all that you endured as a child, based on how he made ways out of no ways. I know things are rough right now. But rhetorically, you know, a question that requires no answer, the question is just intended to make you think. A rhetorical question requires no answer. The question is asked just to make you say, here it is. Have you not known? Have you not yada, Hebraically, yada? Yeah, that is inferentially, euphemistically, literally, and figuratively. Literally, figuratively, euphemistically, intentionally, inferentially. In other words, I'm inferring something. It's euphemistic, it's intentional, it's figurative, it's literal. Yada, don't let me scare you. Based on the fact that Israel, if don't nobody know, because you are my chosen, because more than any other nation in the world, I called you out. You are the seed of Abraham. I picked you. I brought you out of stuff that no one else could have endured. You've crossed through Red Seas. You watched me make the Red Sea stand up on liquid legs. And you walked across on a sovereign sidewalk. Oh, shucks, that's too far back. You not studying Israel. Let me bring it to Cleveland. You came out of stuff that should have killed your behind. You had some addictions, and all addictions are not drugs. Touch your neighbor and say, that'll hit you Tuesday. Praise God. Some addictions got two legs. I'm preaching to some woman that will stand up and say amen and sit back down. Sometimes your addiction has two legs. All addictions aren't drugs. He says, I brought you out of all of that, and now that things are rough, and now that right now you can't quite see your way, and 2022 wasn't your best year, and your family is dealing with some stuff, and there are some financial things, have you not known? Did you forget who I am in your life? Sometime there needs to be a retrospective glance. Okay, let me break it down. Grandma put it this way. When I look back over my life, I can truly say the Lord has made a way. I got a testimony. I know it's early in the sermon, but is there anybody here that God has done enough for? Anybody watching across the world that God has been good enough to you that when stuff jumps off in your life, you praise him for what he's done already? If he don't do nothing else, you'll just say thank you the rest of your life. Is there anybody watching me? Have You not know? Let me break it down. Isaiah says, I thought you knew. I thought you knew based on all you've been through. Watch this. And then he says, have you not heard? I guess at the core, I'm an expository preacher. I like narrative presentation. I do. I like narrative. I can be a storyteller. I like to tell stories sometimes. I like to take that preaching approach. But I guess at the core, I'm an expository preacher, which means I like to let the text talk. And the text says something amazing. The text says, have you not known? But then in the very same breath, he says, have you not heard? Oh, wow. Because it was traditionary. Watch this. It was oral. Okay. Everybody didn't read. Come here, black people. Everybody didn't read, but have you not heard? Didn't somebody in your family tell you? Okay, he's speaking to the Jewish nation, but my job, future preachers, is what? To build a bridge, what? From antiquity to modernity. If not, all the teenagers are going to be asleep. God bless what happened then, but what this sermon got to do with me now? A text can never mean what a text never meant. So the first thing I need you to do, Pastor, yes, lest you be eisegetical, is tell me what the text meant. Who is the original audience? Is he talking to one person, a crowd, several people, or a nation? That's called good exegetical hermeneutical delivery. But now application requires this. Tell me what it meant, but tell me what it means to me now. Because bring it from antiquity to modernity so my husband, who's here for the first time, don't start thinking about the Browns game too early. And that is this. He says, have you not heard? In black tradition, I need all outsiders, teenagers, YF looking at me right now, because we need to know something. We need to know more about our history. Can I tell all of you that during slavery, a lot of stuff was oral. Everyone couldn't read. Everyone did not have the ability semantically to read and understand or even have access to books, but somebody told them. Even some of the preachers who were mostly untrained then, and many pastors could not read, you'll love this, but they would preach from memory. How do you preach every Sunday not knowing how to read the Bible? Because somebody told them. They heard. Wonderful book. We'll put it on the screen. And that is The Invisible Institution, Slave Religion, The Invisible Institution. Please write it down. In the antebellum South, Please just take a picture, whatever. Slave Religion, The Invisible Institution. Come here, thinkers. The Invisible Institution. Church was happening even during slavery. Slave religion, in that all religion was not Christianity. There were other religions in Africa. That said, don't let anybody tell you that God used slavery to give us Jesus. We had Jesus before slavery. All right, some of the greatest theological thinkers, seminary students, come here. Augustine of Hippo, Origen, Tertullian, seminary students know what I'm talking about. Some of the greatest religious thinkers of all time had their origins out of Africa. Don't want to put you to sleep, but they're thinking people who like a little bit more. I'm trying to touch everybody. That said, we also have Simon Cyrene, and who else do we have? The African eunuch that Philip baptized. Who was here for Blackish? Remember that? I taught that? Yeah, the African eunuch. So Jesus was in Africa, along with Hinduism and Buddhism and syncretism. In other words, a mixture of all kinds of beliefs. But when they got to America, this is so important, they got a hold, many of them, to Christianity, and others had it already. And even though many could not read, the slave masters, some of them were kind enough to let them hear them teach Bible study. And be careful, because God got a way of getting what he needs to the people who need to get it to. I got to make a point before I run out of time. So they would give Jesus and the Jesus narrative and the Christian story orally. There are older people here right now that don't know a noun from a verb, but they know God is good. How in the world there's somebody sitting here, trust me, who cannot read, who knows the Jesus story? I got a word for you. You ready for this? Write it down. Keep telling the story. Keep telling the story. I got a word. I want you to hear me, and I can't go fast right here. We're in danger of having the first untrained, biblically illiterate black children in the history of African people. Let me try this again. We are in danger. There's some of you sitting here who are much more gifted than me and more intelligent than me, and you make more money than me. You are killing the game. Your children don't know the Bible. And here's what's deep. You are a good mama to the best of your ability. You've been a good dad. But some type of way, the enemy has tricked us and stopped us from telling the story. So some of our children have not heard. You want to know your first lady's pet peeve? I know she's sweet. Everybody loves to hug her and touch her, but she does have a pet peeve. She hates the fact that many people, even in ministry, don't make their kids come to church. I'm talking about people singing, people ushering, people in the parking lot, people whatever, high leadership. It's like, where's your kids? How you worshiping, but they not here? Because it's a headache to get them up. Well, Pastor, they didn't want to come. They don't pay bills. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Can I get some people to have church with me? Every child should be required to come to church until they have their own place to live. All of my children from 0 to 18 have shown up in this space and place. And the first church I pastored, and before then as an associate minister, they had to come. And thank God, for the most part, here's why it's good. They still love coming. Ooh, y'all just missed that. Because it's in their heart. Dr. King said something profound. He said, the law cannot make a man love me, but it can keep him from lynching me. I'm going someplace. Can I vernonize that and bring it back to you? I cannot force you to love God, but in my house, I can force you to learn about him. Those with children that are yet in high school, elementary, or small, and even grandkids, take this home with you. Put Jesus in them. I gotta hurry, but Jamie Foxx, who is arguably top, what, three, top five most multi-talented performers in black ethos? I mean, we could argue who can sing, act, dance, play. I mean, the man, but he would tell you if he's watching, he doesn't consider himself to be the most Christian cat that ever lived. But the other day, he's in an interview, and somebody said, I heard you know the books of the Bible. And he named the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And something hit me. No matter what he's doing right now, somebody put something in him. And when it's in you, when you need it, it'll come back. I wish I had 12 people that know you was a trip, you had a baby, you made some mistakes, but deep down in your heart, something in your soul said, Jesus. Have you not heard? Keep telling the story. All you fly parents with master's degrees and PhDs, and some of you are still cute in your 40s, still look 20. I'm proud of you. In your 30s, in your 50s, please tell your children and your grandchildren. Let me just tell you this. And the Lord told me to pause here pastorally, because if there's one good thing to having children late, you should do it better. Yeah, we start having babies in our 20s, and now in our 50s, we still have an 11-year-old. How old is she, baby? 12, 11. It's a bunch of them. I don't know no more. Praise God. Amen. And Ralph, 16, and one of my children who's grown, you'll be glad I said this, said to us in one of our Come to Jesus, please have these with your children, Come to Jesus meetings. What could we have done better? Is there anything has you in therapy about us? Let me try to do better while you're grown than I did when you were a child. Don't nothing matter to me more than your emotional and spiritual health. So whatever, maybe the church was going too fast, maybe I was too busy, please keep it straight. Even if it got to hurt, a parent should always chase their child and not blame, but say, what can I do better even now that you're grown? One of my children, thank you, changed my life, said, we never saw nothing but God on y'all, but you could have read the Bible to us more. I don't have to tell you the kind of night that was for me, teaching the Bible. And yet one of your children said, you could have read it to us even more. And then they said, what our smaller brothers and sisters, even if they hate it, read it to them, Daddy. Y'all just missed that. Make them learn it. Because now that we're grown, we understand you can't have too much Bible and God. I wish I had somebody. And so I said to my small children, and I mean it, and let me say this. I'm not making this a parenting sermon. I'm going to teach on family next year. But I do have to tell you this. Just make it real simple. Give me your phone until you can tell me the four gospels. Give me your phone until you can tell me the doctrines of Christianity that I gave you on that piece of paper. Give me your phone until you have finished Mark 5 and can explain it to me. We start doing that and the game changed. Ain't no arguing. Phone, God. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to use that tonight. Praise God. I'm about to go home. Thank you, Pastor. Stop fussing. And then it's their choice, not yours. All right, I got to go. Y'all tired of me. So keep telling the story. That the everlasting God, the creator, here it is, of the ends of the earth, does not faint neither is he weary. Watch this. I thought you knew, number one, that God is sovereign. I thought you knew, Israel, his sovereignty. Let me hurry up. I thought you knew he's sovereign. Do you know what sovereign means? That the everlasting God, you'll love this, the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is he weary. He is sovereign. Do you know what sovereign simply means? Sovereign means you do whatever you want to do. Recently, in the death of Queen Elizabeth, her son, King Charles, took over, and they are referred to as sovereigns. But really, in a technical sense, they are not, because Britain still has a real government authority that dictates statutory and all kinds of laws. They're more symbols than sovereigns. When you are a sovereign, you don't ask somebody nothing. When you are a sovereign, and people ask me, was I upset about all the peasantry? Y'all ready to have church? All the peasantry of Queen Elizabeth's death and the 10, that's the longest funeral I've ever seen in my life. Praise God. Well, it wasn't a long funeral, but a long mourning period. She wrote her whole 10-day hookup. Y'all going to do this on day one? Day two, I want y'all to march. Day three, get on the jet, go to this country. Day four. I was like, and praise God, only black Instagram and Twitter would play I Shall Wear a Crown over her crown. I said, only black Instagram, they was holding her crown. I shall wear a crown. I said, black Twitter, no, they funny. Praise God, amen. Pastor, isn't it idolatry to have a king? Y'all missed y'all shout. Jesus didn't say you couldn't have a king. He said, I'm king up. I wished I had 50 people. He's King of Kings. And Lord, I wished I had 10 people that know that God is sovereign. When I say sovereign, I need you to understand his strength is inexhaustible. His knowledge is unsearchable. God know everything. God can handle whatever you're going through. You have a God who's sovereign. Say sovereign. Now, I don't want to give you what I refer to as Calvinistic theological mendacity. Okay, let me vernonize that. All I'm saying, this hyper-Calvinistic theological mendacity would suggest that everything is predestinated. And the reason why you wore that brown shirt or that Cleveland Guardian shirt is because it was already predestined for you to wear that Guardian shirt. And even if you didn't want to, you had to wear it because predestination or hyper-Calvinism suggests you really have no choice in the matter. You had to wear it because God already sovereignly selected you to wear it. That's called hyper-Calvinistic theological mendacity, in my opinion. No, God don't make me do everything. I wore this because I wanted to. Angels had nothing to do with it. You got on a cute skirt because that's the one you picked. I don't believe that God gets in the midst of who wins the game. Well, Pastor, I pray for that. The problem is somebody from New York prayed for the Yankees. The reason it ain't raining today, because I prayed for no rain for my wedding. I prayed for no snow for my wedding. But some skier prayed that it did snow. So who, is God picking prayers? Now, there is this one exception. In 2016, I pulled over in the gas station where we live that closes at 5 o'clock. Pray for us. And by myself, I said, God, just this one time. I'm serious. I need the curse. If I be your apostle of this city, I mean that. I said, I need you this one time to get involved in this game. I need this curse lifted. All I know, Steph Curry started missing the whole backboard. And Angel picked up LeBron, let him catch it on the glass. And then the three-point angel grabbed Kyrie's shot that I shall never forget and dropped it. Everybody please say thank you, Pastor Vernon. Go ahead. Just a little levity, lest I lose you. But here is the big point. He is sovereign. Him being sovereign means whatever you're going through, let's turn up and go watch the game. Whatever you're going through, he can handle it. Who's ever sick in your family, he can heal their body. What's ever happening with your husband, he has the ability to fix your marriage. Sometimes it may not be probable, but it's never impossible. My Bible says all things are possible. You know what? I feel like having church. Please do me a favor. Go upstairs. Did I tell you we also have three professional card tables. Same ones you see in Vegas. Soft place to rest your arms. Perfect chairs, cards on all three tables. Enjoy after church. Those of you who are real card players know when you play spades, your partner says, how many do you have? And the answer is normally, I got four and a. Y'all just missed y'all shout. Praise God. Can I tell you, I need somebody to jump up in here and say, I got a possible. Go ahead. God may not do it, but I got three and a possible. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the possible sovereignty of God, which means God can pick stuff up or sit stuff down. He can open doors that no man can close. He can close doors that no man can open. I know your son has life in prison, but here's what a praying mother does. There's always the possibility that God can touch the right prosecutor's heart. I'm helping somebody. That God can touch the right judge's heart, and you get a call out of nowhere saying, we said 10 years, but we redo. Who am I preaching to that needs one child, one grandchild? I'm believing God for the sovereignty of God. Don't tell me. I know for myself that God can make a way out of no way. Stand up and sit back down and holler, he's sovereign. Oh, run, Forrest, run. You don't know what she's running for. You don't know what she believes in God for. Is there anybody here that can't nobody fix it but Jesus? You're going to have to lean and depend on the everlasting. Oh, I got to get out of here. Come on, holla. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Isaiah says, Isaiah says, I thought you knew he was sovereign. He gives power to the weak. It's on the screens. And to those who have no mights, he increases strength. Now, again, did I tell y'all, all of us know this from Sunday school? He gives power to the weak. You can hear something for 40 years